Shabbat Shalom. Turn in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 16. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, who died when they approached the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell your brother Aaron not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place, behind the curtain in front of the atonement cover on the ark, or else he will die, because I will appear in the cloud over the atonement cover. This is how Aaron is to enter the sanctuary area, with a young bull for the sin offering and a ram for the burnt offering. He is to put on the sacred linen tunic with linen undergarments next to his body. He is to tie the linen sash around him and put on the linen turban. These are sacred garments, so he must bathe himself with water before he puts them on." Let's stop right there. The last parsha I shared was about how we prepare to meet with God. And this one here is also how we need to prepare to meet with God. We're under grace. We don't have to jump through all these hoops. We don't have to fear for our lives for entering this building in an unworthy manner. But God sets things forth for a reason. Now, following the deaths of Aaron's son, God warns against unauthorized entry into the Holy of Holies, the most holy place. The high priest could go in but once a year on Yom Kippur. Enter the innermost chamber in the sanctuary to offer the sacred Ketoret to God. And in Leviticus 16, 12, and 13, we read, "He shall take a censer full of burning coals from the altar and fill his hands of finely ground Ketoret, and he shall bring these inside the curtain. He shall place the Ketoret upon the fire before God, and the cloud of the incense shall envelop the covering of the Ark of the Testimony." The offering of the Ketoret was the most prestigious and sacred of the services in the Holy Temple. The Ketoret was a special blend of 11 herbs and balms whose precise ingredients and manner of preparation were commanded to God, or by God to Moses. Twice a day, Ketoret was burned on the golden altar that stood in the temple. On Yom Kippur, in addition to the regular Ketoret offerings, the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies with a pan of smoldering coals in his right hand and a ladle filled with Ketoret in his left. There he would scoop the Ketoret into his hands, place it over the coals, wait for the chamber to fill with the fragrant smoke of burning incense, and back out of the room. The moment marked the climax of the Yom Kippur service in the Holy Temple. Another feature of the Day of Atonement service is the casting of lots over two goats to determine which should be offered to God and which should be dispatched to carry off the sins of Israel into the wilderness. This parsha also warns against bringing animal or meal offerings anywhere but in the Holy Temple, forbids the consumption of blood, and details the laws prohibiting incest and other deviant sexual relations. Aaron had to prepare himself to meet with God. He had to follow precise instructions so that he would not die. Now, here's some controversy. You want to argue with me, you can argue with me after service. You've all heard probably the myth or the legend that they would tie a rope around the priest's leg as he went into the Holy of Holies. In case he died, they could drag him out. I think it's just legend, because I can't find it in Scripture. I can't find it in the Talmud. And I can't find it in the writings of Josephus. So here's why. We see in Scripture that the sacred garments we just read had no bells on them. Now, the ephod had the bells and the pomegranates around the hem, but that was worn in the holy place, not the Holy of Holies, as we read. I think it's important that he follows that. Now, he still had to prepare himself to go into the holy place. You remember his sons. He still had to do that, but the Holy of Holies, the holiest of places, he entered with the sacred garments, the linen garments, and he went in behind the curtain. Now, we all know this curtain is not a curtain like we have. A curtain is 60 feet high, 4 inches thick. and took thousands of people to maintain it. So it's not a little veil. No. You know, this whole thing about the legend of the rope around the ankle or his waist reminds me of a lot of other examples. I've heard teaching that Yeshua knocked Rav Shaul off his high horse on the road to Damascus. No, he was not on a horse. I've seen paintings depicting Paul falling off a rearing horse with Yeshua. Never happened. Oh, and by the way, no one robbed Peter to pay Paul. And I've heard teachings about Peter's vision in Acts having to do with doing away with the kosher dietary laws. Untrue. Peter himself, a little bit later in Acts, explains that the purpose of the vision was God telling him that the Gentiles were included into the plan of salvation. Yes. And you were there where he was. Beautiful place. Here in Leviticus 16, 2-4, when Aaron enters the Holy of Holies, he washes and wears special linen garments, not the ephod with the bells. There's no bells to jingle. There's no rope that's required either. Preparing to meet with God in a proper way and by his instructions was paramount to the priests at that time. As we read, some did not survive. From the Israelite community, the high priest was instructed to take two male goats for a sin offering and a ram for the burnt offering. The priest brought the animals before the Lord, cast lots between the two goats, one to be sacrificed and the other to be the scapegoat. The first goat was slaughtered for the sins of the people and its blood used to cleanse the most holy place, the tent of meeting and the altar. After the cleansing, the live goat was brought to the high priest. He would lay his hands upon the goat and confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites and all their sins and put them on the goat's head. He shall send the goat away into the wilderness in care of someone appointed to the task. The goat will carry it on itself all the sins to a remote place, and the man shall release it into the wilderness. Symbolically, the scapegoat took the sins of Israelites into the wilderness and removed them. Some say they took the goat to a cliff and pushed the goat off. I don't know. It says here they just released it into the wilderness. Yeshua can be found throughout the Old Testament. Amen? Amen. Here is another example. Yeshua is the complete atonement for our sins. In many ways, he embodies each aspect of the Day of Atonement. We are told that he is our high priest in Hebrews 4:14. In Revelation 13:8, he is also the lamb that was slain from the creation of the world as a sacrifice for our sins. And he is our scapegoat. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Our sins were laid on Yeshua. He bore our sins just as the scapegoat bore the sins of the Israelites. Isaiah 53:6 prophesies Yeshua's acceptance of the sin burden. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. After the sins were laid on the scapegoat, it was considered unclean and driven into the wilderness. In essence, the goat was cast out. The same happened to Yeshua. He was crucified outside of the city. He was despised and rejected by men. He poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Yeshua embodied what the scapegoat represented, the removal of sins from the perpetrators. Again, we live in such a time of grace that we do not have to do all these things just to come into God's house, to meet with God. And I am so grateful because I would not have survived back then. I know I wouldn't. No way. I'm glad we don't have to jump through hoops. I'm glad we can enter the throne room of God through the blood of Yeshua. And through that blood, God sees us righteous and clean and white as snow. We need to remember what God has done for each and every one of us and never take that incredible gift lightly or for granted. We need to really understand what that means. We meet here every Shabbat. When we meet, we need to focus on God and not what we've dealt with all week. It's a time of rest. It is a time of peace. And most importantly, we need to be good Bereans. We need to read God's word and find out for ourselves what He has to say to our hearts. Shabbat Shalom.